glad to see everybody back tonight and to have those who weren't here with us this morning to be here, be able to make it tonight. So we are always happy and encouraged. And that is the matter that can take hand, that when people aren't able to make it, whatever reason, and then are able to make the next services. It's always good to see that they're able to be back out with us. It's always wonderful to be able to have the opportunity to study God's Word. You open your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. We'll start there this evening. Mark chapter 8. We're going to be reading verses 27 through 29. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 27. It says, "Now Jesus and his disciples went out of the town of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? So they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about it. Of course, this is a wonderful point that is brought out here. It is, of course, upon this confession that Peter makes, that we read about in Matthew, that Jesus says that he will build his church upon the acknowledgement and the belief and faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is our Savior, that he is the Messiah. And on that, Christ says he's building his church. But notice what other people were saying, what other people were answering on who they thought our Lord and Savior was. Some thought that he might have been John the Baptist, because John, of course, had been preaching repentance and baptism and had many disciples following him. And of course, a lot of the disciples that are with Jesus were disciples of John's first. Some get caught up in saying he is one of the prophets, either Elijah or Moses or another prophet, because some of the things he was teaching seemed to maybe go down the same lines of the prophets. So I ask you this evening, of who do you say Jesus is? I don't believe we get caught up in answering the same questions that, or same answers that others did at that time frame. And even recalling that some, of course, as Jesus was performing the miracles and casting out demons, some end up even saying that he was an unclean spirit himself. And of course, Jesus had to teach that that'd mean the house is divided and it wouldn't work, Satan casting out Satan. So many answers were given then, and I believe many answers would be given today of who do you say Jesus is? You ask that question out into the world, and I really want you to ask that question to yourself. What definition do you use in defining who Christ is? Some might get caught up and starting off saying, well, he's just a myth. That he is just some legend that is talked about. That it is simply a story that has been made up. A story that people tell to try to help people be good people and give some people hope. But it is just simply a myth. A legend. A story that we tell to make people want to be good. I believe that's some of the answers people would give. Some people may just simply point out that they believe he's completely made up, completely fake, that there's nothing to it. Some might get caught up in saying he's just a man. They may acknowledge that if you study history and you do some research, that you can see that there was a man that who lived upon this earth that had many followers and that was crucified. But that's where they'll end. Say they've exaggerated his story with the miracles and exaggerated his story with resurrection, who was simply a man. A good man, a leader that men were willing to follow, they'll come out and say that he was simply just a man. The question is who do you see? How do you find Jesus? Who is he to you? Do you answer in these ways? Do you go forth and say, well, Jesus is a good story? Or do we believe in what we read throughout the Scriptures? What do the Scriptures say? Who is our Lord and Savior? Who is Jesus? I want to look at a few Scriptures this evening to define who he is and hopefully let us acknowledge truly our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First point to bring out, I want to bring out, is that he is the Creator. He is our Creator. He was there in the beginning. With the Father, with the Spirit. It says here in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So when we ask you, who is Jesus? We can say he is our Creator. He was there when all things were made, and it says nothing was made without. Do we believe that? Is that the answer, one of the answers that you would give if someone is asking you that Jesus is your Creator? Another point to bring out as you study these three verses, it says, and the beginning was the Word. Speaking of our Lord and Savior, that is why it is capitalized, because it's speaking about Jesus. You jump down to verse 14, it helps you put that into perspective, put that into understanding, because it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here it says, this is Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. Who is that? He is the Word. Meaning that the Scriptures that we have today is from him. These are his words. These are his commandments. These are the things he desires us to do. These are the commands that he tells us to stay away from. When we read 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17, we say all Scripture is God's breath. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That is also bringing out the point that all Scripture is therefore given us by Jesus. This is when we turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 tells us he now speaks through Christ, through his Son. He is the Word. Do we believe that? When someone asks you, who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is the Word. He is who gave us the Bible. Yes, he sent the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles and prophets to write these things for us. That is who our Lord and Savior is. That is who Jesus is. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Turn along with me there. Mark chapter 8. And in verse 31, it reads, it says here, it says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders of the chief priests, scribes, and be killed after 3 days, rise again. Here he refers to himself as the Son of Man. Understanding that Jesus was the Son of Man. Jesus was human. He did live upon this earth. He was born of a woman.
John 1, verse 14, that we read just a moment ago, tells us, "And the Word became flesh." He wasn't just a man. He was a man. He was tempted as we are tempted. He was tempted more than I believe we are tempted, as Satan took him out after he had fasted for 40 days into the wilderness and tempted him. Jesus is indeed, was indeed a man. But understanding not just the Son of Man, He is the Son of God. His only begotten, as we've read already, or here in Mark in chapter 1, in verse 11, it says, "Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" He says, "You are my beloved Son." Here, Jesus getting baptized by John, setting the example for all, though he had no sins that needed to be repented of. He had no sins that needed to be washed away, but he set the example for us all. And at that moment, God spoke from heaven, saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am pleased." Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to make sure we understand that. That we believe that. So that's what the Scriptures go forth and teach. That He is the Son of God. And not just a child as you and I can be a child of God, that we receive a spirit of adoption when we obey the gospel. That He is the true and only begotten Son of God. That is who our Lord and Savior is. That is who Jesus is. In John chapter 1 and verse 29. John chapter 1, read along with me here. In verse 29, here also speaking of when John baptized the Lord, he saw Jesus coming. It says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Jesus is the Lamb of God. Meaning, He is the sacrifice for your sins. How often do we answer this question that way? That Jesus is our Savior, and I'll bring that up here in a second. Jesus is the Son of God, that's a common answer. Jesus is my sacrifice. He went to the cross for your sins. He came down from heaven to live a life on this cruel world so that He could be beat and scourged and nailed to a cross and die for you. Sit there and think about that thought. Think about, Jesus is my sacrifice. And without it, we would have no hope. Without it, we would have no salvation. Without it, there'd be no point to be here today and to continue on. He's your sacrifice. He is your Savior. We read here in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 4 and reading verse 14. Here it says, "And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in He and God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Jesus is our Savior. Why? Because he did come down to earth. He did remain faithful. He was the Lamb of God. And it is his blood that washes away our sins. Jesus is our Savior. We can only be saved through him. First Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading here in verse 13. First Timothy 6, and starting in verse 13, it says, I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest his own time, he who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an approachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. He is the King of kings, Lord of lords. But I ask you, is he your king? Have you bowed down to your Savior, to Jesus Christ? Have you given yourself over to his service, to his kingdom, to serve him, to do his will, to further his kingdom? Do you take his commands and say, yes, sir? Is he your king? I hope so. You have to be willing to give yourself over to him. You have to be willing to serve him. Who is Jesus to you? I hope he's your friend. In John chapter 15, as he speaks to those who are close to him, he's speaking to the disciples that are with him here. He says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He says he is their friend because he has revealed the plan. His plan. The plan that God has set for all of us. Because he has revealed that, because the king don't have to do that. The master doesn't have to reveal these things. But he wants to be your friend, so therefore he has revealed these things. Have you heard it? Have you accepted these things? Again, he says, you are my friend if you keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. When it comes down to it, when you ask whether or not he is your Savior, whether or not he was your sacrifice, whether or not he is your king, whether or not he is your friend, that all depends on whether or not you've accepted it, whether you've given yourself over to him. He is God's Lamb. He is the sacrifice that God had sent down for your sins. But have your sins been washed away? Have you come to him and allowed his blood to wash over you? In Mark chapter 3, turn along with me there. Can we call him our brother? As our relationship continues in that point of growing stronger with our Lord and Savior,
And we receive that spirit of adoption through our baptism. We become heirs in Christ. And so therefore, can you stand up and happily, confidently say that Christ is my brother? Because as we read here in Mark chapter 3, and once again, I've talked about this verse, and I hope that you've read it through the scriptures that we've been reading throughout the days in the bulletin that I put out this month. But here, his family is looking for him. Of course, his family has got caught up in saying he's kind of gone insane. Why is he out there teaching these things? And so as Jesus is teaching and he's surrounded by the people, someone comes and says, your mother and your brothers are outside and they're looking for you. So Jesus replied here in verse 34. He looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. Is he your brother? Again, it matters if you're going to obey the Father. That's what our Lord and Savior did. He was faithful to the Father. In all things, he fulfilled the prophecies. He fulfilled the law. Even as he's in the garden, he prayed that the cup passed by him, nevertheless, your will be done. Who is Jesus to you? Going to be your judge. There's some things that I put question marks behind because it's a question of whether or not you've chosen to accept that. There's things that you can't get around that he is your creator. There's no denying it. He is the Son of God. You can try to deny it. But when it comes to the end of time, he will be your judge. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you read here in verse 10. So as always, go ahead and start up in verse 7 with me. In verse 7 it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that excellence of power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. And I am reading in the wrong chapter. A lot of good verses about Jesus, though. I was ready to keep on going. Jump to chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, therefore, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are all well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. See, there's no getting around this. He will be our judge. He will be a just judge because he judges according to the will of the Father, not according to his likeness, to his own personality, to the things that he enjoyed, to those who have money to give. But he'll judge according to what we have here in front of us, to the word that he is and that he has given to us. But he can be your Savior, so that when you face him as the judge, you'll have nothing to fear. Because he would have already washed your sins away. He can be your strength from day to day, as we read Philippians 4 and verse 13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Give you hope from day to day, that even as bad as it is in this world, that you have a home in heaven that He has went to prepare. So ask yourself tonight, who is Jesus to you? Is He just the person that people who are religious talk about? Or is He your King? Is He your sacrifice? Is He your Savior? If you're willing to accept that tonight, you're willing to obey the gospel, obey the commands that He's blessed you with, and we encourage you to do that. We encourage to make your life right, to allow His blood to wash your sins away as you are baptized. We hope that you will do that tonight. We pray continuously for any who have yet to obey the gospel. We also encourage that any who need the prayer congregations, if there's anything we can do for you, we let it be known as we stand.
Onward rejoicing, I tread my way, higher I'm climbing each passing day. Hilltops of glory now rise in view, where all shall be made new. Hilltops of glory I now can see. Oh, I soon shall stand.